ధర్మ అచరిత పుంసం ధర్మాచరిత పుంసం వన్మనకాయ బూదిపి పన్మనకాయ బూదివి లోకాన్ విశోకాన్వితరాజ్ లోకాన్ విశోకాన్వితరాజ్ అథాన్నంత్యం అసంగినాం అథాన్నంత్యం అసంగినాం ధర్మ అచరిత పుంసం వన్మనకాయ బుదివి లోకాన్ విశోకాన్ వితరత్ అథనంత్యం అసంగీనం ధర్మ రిలీజియస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ ఆచరితః ఎగ్జిక్యూటెడ్ పుంసం టు పర్సన్స్ వాక్ బై వర్డ్స్ మనః మైండ్ కాయ బాడీ బుద్ధి అండ్ బై ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ లోకం ది ప్లానెట్స్ విశోకం వితౌట్ మిజరీ bestow adha certainly anantyam unlimited happiness liberation asanginam to those free from material influence translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Those who live according to religious principles and who follow them by words, mind, body and intelligence are elevated to the heavenly kingdom, which is devoid of all miseries. Being thus rid of the material influence, they achieve unlimited happiness in life. Purport: the saintly sages herein instruct that the king or head of government should set an example by living a religious life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, religion means worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should not simply make a show of religious life, but should perform devotional service perfectly with words, mind, body, and good intelligence. By doing so, not only will the king or government head rid himself of the contamination of the material modes of nature, but the general public will also, and they will all become gradually elevated to the kingdom of God and go back home, back to Godhead. The instructions given herein serve as a summary of how the head of government should execute his ruling power and thus attain happiness not only in this life, but also in the life after death. Dharma acharita pumsam manmana kaya buddhi lokan visokan vitarat athan nityam asanginam. Those who live according to religious principles and who follow them by words, mind, body and intelligence are elevated to the heavenly kingdom, which is devoid of all miseries. Being thus freed of the material influence, they achieve unlimited happiness in life. So this is another encouraging instruction given by the Brahmanas to the wicked King Vena. So we can see here that they really try their best to inspire him to do the right thing and give up his nonsense. And of course, he was kind of, we can assume he was kind of inspired and until they told him that he has to worship the Supreme Lord. And then he said, "What Supreme Lord? I'm the Supreme Lord here. Everyone should worship me. I should not worship anyone." So that was the kind of turning point for those brahmanas. They realized it's no return, right? They cannot do anything. If someone thinks he's God, that's it. No chance. Like, one lady tells the other lady, "I had to leave my husband due to religious differences. That he was preaching to me that he is the Supreme Lord, and I refused to believe." So yeah, this is very typical tendency, right, of the conditioned soul. This is why we came to the material world. And it's especially important that the leaders of the society are showing the best example of good qualities and devotion to the Supreme Lord, serving the Supreme Lord. And actually, all good qualities come from serving the Supreme Lord and connecting with the Supreme Lord, because he is the source of all good qualities, right? And so, in the same way as fire comes from fire, then all good qualities become manifest in the human being by serving the Supreme Lord. Like we can see 26 qualities of a devotee, or sometimes there are more different scriptures describe different qualities of devotees. And those qualities, where are they coming from? They come from 64 qualities of Krishna, right? So by association, one becomes influenced. And that's why it is said that only serving the Supreme Lord, only devotional service, is the ultimate solution to all the problems, right? And yeah, it's very interesting how naturally people, they looking for that. Everybody. In our leadership school in Mayapur, one of our teachers, he is the regional director of Harvard Business School, and he was presenting the results of Harvard Business Research, and they spent hundreds of millions of dollars every year for that research. You know, they charge tons of money for their courses. Like, it costs $2,000 a day per person, or $500,000 per corporate entity to go through the Harvard Business courses. But they don't, because they are scientists, so they have this Brahminical nature, and they don't use that money for excessive sense gratification. Majority of those funds is going back into the research, you know, surveys and everything else. And so he was introducing us to the results of those researches they make. And he told something which was very interesting. He said that the two most prominent qualities employees appreciate in their leaders are humility and compassion. Which is like amazing, right? The topmost devotional qualities. Which is an indication that, you know, devotees should be the leaders of the society, because this is what people are looking for, right? And that devotees should be really serious in their devotional service to develop those qualities. And yeah, as it says, yatha raja tatha praja, right? That therefore Brahmanas are trying so hard to influence King Vena because they understand if he's not showing good example, then because of that, the entire kingdom will degrade, right? Krishna explains that in Bhagavad Gita. Yadyada charatishvesta stattata vitarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokastata nuvartate. That whatever example the leaders show, the whole world is following that example. And that's why leadership is the most important thing. Like head is the most important part of the body, right? That if you lose your limb, you can still live. But if you lose your head, that's it, right? For this day, we haven't seen anyone surviving without head. Right? If you have problem with your health, you can amputate a limb. But, you know, head amputation. that's terminal thing. Right? So, yeah, the head is most important thing. And Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are the head of the social body, as we understand. Well, head and arms. And so, because Brahmanas are thinkers and Kshatriyas are doers, movers and shakers. And this is really important to have good leadership. Because I found out that there is one proverb which is very typical in Russia and in Bengal. Prabhupada was also quoting that. And it says that fish is rotting from the head. Right? The head is the first thing to rot. Yeah, because if someone is surrounded by wealth, power, and fame, you know, it gets into people's head. No surprise. And that's why traditionally in Vedic culture, Brahmanas and Kshatriyas always worked together. Brahmanas kept Kshatriyas in line, make sure that they do not degrade, and this is the example given here in this chapter. And at the same time, Kshatriyas would also make sure that Brahmanas are not corrupted. Because, Brahmana can also become corrupted. Unfortunately, we have seen that this is what happened, right? And actually, the entire Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, beginning from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was the, we can say, armed response to the corrupt Brahmanas, right? Because when Lord Chaitanya took birth in Navadvip, it was the greatest center of learning, but unfortunately all the Brahmanas there were so materialistic and so corrupt. So Brahmanas stand, and of course we understand that the whole caste system starts with that corruption of the Brahmanas, right? And so because both of these leaders, they tend to become corrupted. Kshatriyas and Brahmanas, on their own, they do not stand. But you put them together, they stand, right? It's very interesting. Like, the book will not stand on one side, right? If I put it like that, it will never stand. But I can make it stand like this, right? You see, it is standing. Because these two sides are supporting each other, right? So in the same way, this is the, you can say, trick by the Supreme Lord, that Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, on their own, they are useless. But you put them together and they support each other, right? They look after each other, make sure that none of them gets corrupted. And that's why the entire, if you look at the history of the world, of course it started with Brahminical corruption, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when kings are getting corrupted, then powerful Brahmanas can, you know, check the situation, can control it, like we see here. But if Brahmanas are corrupted, that's it. There is no chance. And we understand from Bhagavatam that what was the first and foremost point which actually triggered Kali Yuga development. What happened? Yes. The foolish son of a Brahmana, Shringi, right, became too puffed up with his position, and he cursed Maharaj Parikshit. And so this is what started the entire Kali Yuga, corruption of Brahmanas. Brahmanas becoming puffed up, right? Because Brahmanas are not meant to be puffed up. Brahmanas are meant to be humble. Kshatriyas, they have this tendency to become puffed up because they have a lot of reasons for that. But then humble Brahmanas can keep them in check. And the Kshatriya is qualified, then they respect Brahminical qualities. And if they don't, powerful Brahmanas can remove them. But if Brahmanas are corrupt, then they degrade. And so Shringi had these powers to curse Maharaj Parikshit, but because of that mistake, all the Brahmanas in Kali Yuga lost their powers, right? Now Brahmanas can tear their threads apart and cursing people, but nothing happens, right? No one cares. Like Prabhupada was joking about the vulture cursing the cow to die, right? Because vulture wants to enjoy the dead body of the cow, he's cursing, you know, let you die. And then cow continues grazing, you know, indifferent to this, to those curses. And then finally the vulture dies and cow continues to graze. And so we can understand that this is how things work in Kali Yuga. And so the Krishna consciousness movement is really meant to kind of transform this situation, right? And this is what Prabhupada wanted. It's very interesting how Prabhupada, you know, in this Hare Krishna movie, the mantra and the Swami who started the dome, Prabhupada says, I wanted to start one revolution. So yeah, he's a spiritual revolutionary, because this is the spirit of Bhagavatam, right? Tadvad visarga janatak viplavo. That viplavo means revolution, right? Spiritual revolution. This is what Bhagavatam is meant to create, spiritual revolution in the lives of people. And so, what is this revolution? It's not, you know, fighting with arms, but it is fighting with, not with regular shastra, but with spiritual weapon, with shastra, with knowledge, right? Like Krishna tells Arjuna in the end of the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, armed with knowledge, stand and fight. So knowledge can be very, very powerful weapon, because knowledge dispels ignorance. And if ignorance is dispelled, then all the problems are solved, right? So this is really important for us to understand how it's supposed to work in Kali Yuga. And actually, if we tell people theoretical knowledge, This is what we've tried for quite a few years, few decades, telling people theoretical knowledge. But then if they do not see the good examples of that knowledge applied in our own lives, you know, we destroy their faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, right? That's why it's really important that devotees first and foremost display the devotional qualifications, right? Devotees become good devotees. And what does it mean to become good devotee? There is no secret. It's explained very, very clearly in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, the last half of the 12th chapter, even though it's not very long, it's only 20 verses, but about 7 or 8 verses, Krishna dedicates to the description of the qualities of a devotee who is dear to him, right? And so this is what we should be aimed at. This is what we strive for. We should strive for. Advaishta sarvabhutanam maitra karunevacha nirmamo nirahankara samadukka sukhakshami santushta satata yogim yatatmadrita nishchaya mayapitamano buddhir yamadmukta smepriya, etc. So these qualities are very, very important. And they're actually listed in a very powerful way, that the first three qualities Krishna brings up. Advaishta sarvabhutanam. Devotee is never inimical towards anybody. He's not envious on anyone, of anyone. Like Maharaj Yudhishthir was called Ajata Shatru, right? One whose enemy was never born. So devotee has no enemies. And Maitra means devotee is friend of all. Like this wonderful book by Mula Prakriti, Devi Prabhupada disciple, Srila Prabhupada, the best friend of all, I think it's called. Very nice book. And Karuna, compassionate. So the first three qualities are actually describing the position of a devotee having perfect relationships with everybody, right? That whom do we tend to envy? Whom our envy normally directed towards in the material world? Yes, those who are better, those who are higher than us, right? Nobody is criticizing some bum on the street, right? But someone who has high position, everybody wants to, you know, criticize and fault find, etc., right? It says that it's so sad that every single person who knows how to run the country already engaged being, you know, bus driver or, you know, miner or street sweeper, right? That everybody knows how to run the country. Unfortunately, they already have some other jobs. They don't have spare time to run the country. So, yeah, this is very sad that this tendency of being envious towards superiors is so strong in the conditioned soul. And, of course, it comes from envy towards the Supreme Lord, right? Because Supreme Lord is on the top of everything and everyone. And so, but this is the first thing. Devotee is not envious of anyone, means he has perfect relationships with superiors, right? And then Maitra, whom should we make friends with? Equal, right? So, and Karuna, whom should we show compassion towards? Yeah, those who are less fortunate than us, right? So the first three qualities actually indicate that devotee is meant to have perfect relationships with everyone. Seniors, equals, and juniors, right? And then nirmama nirankara. Automatically that's coming. Nirmama means one who is not claiming any proprietorship, right? Nothing is mine. It all belongs to Krishna. Everything is meant for Krishna's service and for benefiting all living entities. And nirahankara, not claiming to have any position. Right? It's very interesting how Srila Prabhupada, one time he gave very powerful class. Maybe it was in South Africa, I can't remember, but it was kind of public lecture. And he was explaining that how society is divided into four orders. And the most important order in the society are brahmanas, because they give spiritual knowledge. And the least important, the lowest order in the society are shudras, right? And after the explanation, one young man raised his hand and he said, Swamiji, you are telling us that brahmanas, they are the superior order because they give spiritual knowledge, and you're giving us spiritual knowledge here, right? And you're telling us that shudras are the at the bottom of the society, and shudra means employed, and so we're all employed here. So you're trying to tell us that you are the brahmana and we are... He said, and Prabhupada was saying, first class, brahmanas, right? And then fourth class, shudras. And then this boy was saying that, do you mean to say you belong to the first class and we belong to the fourth class? This is what you're trying to tell us here? And Prabhupada said, actually, listen to the recording, very interesting. He said, I have no claim. Actually, I'm not the first class. I'm the fifth class because I serve the fourth class. So this is amazing, right? And we know that it is true that Prabhupada humbly served all those, you know, what they were called, acid head hippies. Right? This is amazing. Coming from such a aristocratic Vaishnava family and serving really strange people, cleaning after them, right? So yeah, Prabhupada was not making things up. He was actually telling the truth that, yeah, I'm serving the fourth class, so you can say that my position is fifth class. And of course, this is Prabhupada's humility. And this is why Vaishnavas are on transcendental position, because they don't claim any position in the society. And so this is really important, that we actually preach not just with our words, because talk is cheap, right? Unless you have a very expensive plan on your mobile. So that's why we should preach not just with our words, but with our action, right? Like there is a saying that your actions are so screaming so loudly, I cannot hear what you're saying, right? And so this is really important, that devotees manifest that perfect character, as Prabhupada was saying, being perfect gentlemen, right? And that's really impressive. And the most important feature of a devotee is, we could say the most important quality of a devotee is karuna, compassion, trying to show mercy, because so many people in Kali Yuga, they're in very unfortunate position, and of course not only materially but spiritually unfortunate. And so many people are suffering, even those who materially have everything, right? It's like one of the countries I'm visiting in my traveling circuit is Switzerland, and it's rated as one of the wealthiest countries on the planet. Actually, it has the third highest average salary level after two Arab countries, Switzerland comes, right? Something like, I think its average salary is equivalent of $12,000 per month. And so it's pretty good, right? I don't know how many of you earn $12,000 a month. And so materially people have everything. But the level of suicides and depression is so high in the country, and they legalized what they call it, euthanasia. Euthanasia, yes. That euthanasia means people have the right to go to the hospital and request doctors to give them lethal injection. You know, like put them to death, basically speaking. And the reasons they quote for why they don't want to live, because many of them are in very good health. No complaints about health. But they say that they are tired of living. Tired of everything. Tired of shopping. Tired of socializing. Tired of, you know, everything this world has to offer. Because they got it all. And nothing makes them happy. Nothing ticks them, as they say, right? So they don't want to live anymore. They explored everything. But at the same time, the interest towards spirituality is also extremely high. Like one devotee who is my friend from London, and he's a very good book distributor. One thing he asked people on the street is, have you ever tried meditation? And he said, in London, 1 out of 10 people says, yes, I've tried meditation. And in Zurich, 9 out of 10 people say yes. So I guess, you know, for them, it's like they explored everything. They already reached the bottom of the attempts to enjoy material life. And they completely frustrated. So for them, it's like they either finish their lives or try something they haven't tried. And because materially they've tried everything, the only option is to try something spiritual, right? So I guess in that sense, it's Krishna's plan that he, you know, kind of encourages people to try to solve all the material problems so that they become, you know, they realize that even if you solve all the material problems, still there is no happiness in this world. And actually take to Krishna consciousness with great conviction to never look back. But it is really important that we actually offer this alternative to people. And as we were saying, that devotees are meant to be brahmanas. And so the basis of real varnashram, as it is described in Bhagavatam, is brahmanas and kshatriyas working hand in hand. And so it's really important for devotees to establish that connection and work with these people. And because these people, you know, like at least then I was listening to brahmanas. Now, if you try to go to the governors, they will say, no, I don't have time to listen to you, right? But if we work with them by dint of that connection, they will get association of the devotees, and they can be affected positively. Like we've done one experiment in Russia. We sat with the devotees and firstly we got inspired by the idea of personal missions based on mission of the organization. something which comes from Seven Habits. And so we thought, okay, we have the mission of our organization, ISKCON, right? We have seven purposes of ISKCON. And then it was recommended that, you know, the branch should have personal mission statement based on the overall mission, and then each member should have personal missions also, personal mission. And we discussed with the devotees for like a few days how our personal mission of our community should look like based on the international mission of the ISKCON. And so we came up with personal mission, I mean the local mission. And then it was very inspiring that this is what we here for in the city. And then we decided to get a feedback from a local governor. And we went to the vice mayor, and luckily we had quite nice relationship with him, because we were inviting him to our festivals and all this. And when every time we would come to him, we would request something, and so automatically he was asking, so like when he saw us coming into his office, he was asking, so what can I help you with? What can I do for you? And then I told him, well, this time, actually, we wanted to help you. And he was like, what can you help me with? And we told him, look, we are in the city not to get something for ourselves. We are here to serve the Supreme Lord, but also do something beneficial for the public. So, and because you're in charge, we want you to engage us. And he was laughing, haha, what can I engage you with? Will you be going out and doing some cleaning work? I require a lot of cleaning, a kind of joke. I said, well, we don't mind anything, but we have our mission, fresh mission we just developed. And if you engage us according to our profile, it would be much more effective. He said, what's the mission? And so then we showed him the paper. And he said, he looked at it. And he said, so you want me to become a Hare Krishna or what? I told him, not that fast. But we just wanted you to kind of suggest and maybe see how we could be involved according to that mission. And, you know, in the mission we were mentioning festivals for the public and education, etc., etc., other things. And he said, yes, I think the first and foremost thing is that you create very wonderful atmosphere with your festivals. And I think I want you to participate in every single festival in the city. You can have your whatever stall, you can participate one way or the other, we can discuss, but I want you on every single festival in the city, which is like amazing, right? You don't have to organize anything, it's all organized. And then he said, well, also your food is really good. And I think you need to teach people how to cook. So I think we need to put you on a local TV to, conduct cooking classes for the public. And we just couldn't believe it, He comes up with all these suggestions. And then he said, your books are also very interesting. I've read some of your books, but I think your books are a little expensive. So I think we need to look into how we can, sponsor your book distribution. This is like amazing. And so this is what we mean that if we really come with service attitude, then these people are getting affected, and they also start thinking in terms of, you know, okay, how we can facilitate them, right? Because any sincere person in a powerful position means he would have the service attitude. And so if we come with the service attitude, they would actually be happy to involve us on serving on a wider scale. And this is what the first purpose of ISKCON implies. That first purpose is very wide, actually it's worldwide, and so this is the way forward, as Bhagavatam explains. And so that's why we need to think how we can make it into reality, and instead of just, you know, having the Mamrita Maharaj was mentioning, instead of just enjoying Krishna consciousness in our little temple community between ourselves, you know, we should think how to establish the connections with the greater society and put Krishna consciousness on a higher and on a wider and higher level as much as possible. All right, so Hare Krishna. We'll be finishing soon, but we still have 5 minutes. If anyone has questions, Dvija Pitambara Prabhu, he has very nice questions. Obviously, he has missionary spirit in the heart.
Maharaj, you mentioned about how Prabhupada wanted revolution, and we see in his 10 years of time, there's so much of revolution, and then reading your Prabhupada disciples talking about their experiences and incidents with Prabhupada, and we see so much happening at a very revolutionary speed. But that's something that we don't see happening so much these days, or maybe I've noticed, but at the pace at which they made the devotees or the distributed books, and they still continue to maintain whatever they had. If you could share your realizations on what are we lacking and how we can bring the same spirit.
Yeah, what to do to bring the same spirit back? Well, one thing which many of those devotees who had experience with of the early days with Prabhupada mentioned, that it was a real family atmosphere, and devotees were really like looking after another and supporting each other, and it actually creates really amazing mood. I remember when I just joined the movement, and what really convinced me beyond any philosophical any philosophy was the example of the devotees, because I saw that these people are literally ready to die for each other. Such a brotherhood. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. Of course, they went through a lot of trials and tribulations. Many of them were in prison for Krishna consciousness. And so basically they were living in the atmosphere when they had nobody else to rely on except Krishna and each other. And so that created an amazing atmosphere, and it was really sweet. And so I think the kind of mood in establishment of Krishna consciousness and all the hardships devotees had to undergo, they helped in creating that mood. Even in Prabhupada times, devotees had to really struggle. But now it's all very relaxed, right? We already achieved it all. And once it reaches the peak, it just goes down, right? And this is what we see. And that's why the solution is very simple. Do not be complacent. Do not become complacent. But, you know, aim higher. Because if you look at ISKCON's seven purposes, I mean, my thing is the first purpose, right? Have we achieved it? No. So we should work very hard to achieve the first purpose of ISKCON and do whatever it takes, and that will help to change the atmosphere, right? Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, you were telling about vision and people. What about comparison to America? American standards?
American standards? Of what?
About the wealth, their knowledge, their spiritual.
Economically?
Yeah.
Yeah, America is much lower on the list. I think it's like below the 10th place or something.
Spirituality-wise.
I haven't seen the indicators of spirituality. Well, they have their In God We Trust on the bills. But I think it's on decline. This is one thing, right? That if you look at the statistics, faith is on decline very, very seriously. Even in the last 10 years, it went down. There are many more people who became atheistic, materialistic. So, and this is the call, right? If we will not do something now, it might be too late. And I just saw one joke at the Facebook. One devotee posted the picture of Kalki, right? And those who remember that picture, he's on a white horse with the sword in hand, right? And all these black people, he's like chopping them. And the caption was saying that, "Don't wait for the man on a white horse, become Krishna conscious now." No, that, I think, "Don't wait for the prince on the white horse, become Krishna conscious now." All right. Anyone else? Yes. Good one. Thank you. All right. So, are we finishing here? No more questions? Yes? Okay, so thank you all very much for your kind hospitality. I'm glad that on my departure day, I could see so many of you, I guess due to public holiday in the temple. So I wish you all the best in your practices and pushing forward Prabhupada's mission. And please bless me so that I could be useful to the devotees in my travels as well. Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada ki jai, Kantarachimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nithai Gopremanam Dei.